Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah, where we explore together the gift of our identity as daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world. I'm Sister Tracy.
And I'm Sarah Denny. And we are so excited to be doing a second season with all of you. We have been waiting for today.
I know.
Throwing back and forth ideas of what we wanted to really just delve into and trying to listen to some of the feedback that we've gotten from our listeners. And we first wanted to comment that it has been such a joy and a gift. Y'all are so supportive.
I know. How many times I've run into people who, when they hear my name, they recognize the show.
Yeah.
And I've met actually a woman from Indiana. She came to one of our Christmas concerts in this last season we had. And she said to me, I listen to your show and I'm a fan. And I was like, what show? It's like, where do you live? And she said, I'm in Indiana and it's your podcast. And I thought to myself, praise the Lord Jesus.
Jesus is so real.
You know? So, I think that there are many, many, much of the feedback that I've gotten has been listeners who have said, no matter what they were going through that particular day, whatever the segment was, spoke to them in a personal and profound way.
Yes.
Which we can only thank God and say, wow.
I was about to say,
I mean,
that's clearly not us, that there's such a consistency amongst just different people where they are and that they will listen to it a different day, a different time. And we earlier were even saying, I remember I was joking with Sister and I was like, Sister, are we doing this show for me? Because I feel like it's for me.
Me too.
It's just such a gift to reflect back as we speak. So we also, again, want to remind you, when we're speaking, we are with you.
Yeah.
Like living this out, doing it not perfectly at all, really just kind of messing it up. So if you think we are wise, it is because we have tried many other ways to live this out and we have failed. And the Lord is so patient with us and is teaching us so much. And again, that's why we're doing this show.
And I think it is about coming together and interacting and all the ways that the Holy Spirit can move in the community, in the body.
Yes.
And it's almost as though he draws us out of ourselves through these encounters that we have. And so that's really our prayer, is that as we begin this new season, that we can really just come together even more as a community of faith. Really, that's what we are. In our interactions, you know, in our girl talk. But we know that there's guys out there who are truly there with us, and they're listening. Because really, it's about the complementarity. It's about the more we can know of ourselves and our and how we are and who we are before God and live in that truth, we can draw out the truth of the other so much more.
And really, with sisters, you know, other women, of course, but I'm learning more and more with just men being men. Like, there's a gift in a way in which when I am reflecting upon the differences, like, there's a freedom in realizing, like, oh, here's these similarities, here's these differences. But in that sort of pondering and reflection, I do become even more myself because of how there are differences and yet a complementarity between men and between women.
Yeah.
So with that, we have, you know, we've prayed about a theme and kind of where would we go with this season. And of course, what is the thing that we are all involved in every single day is human relationships.
And tell me about it.
Big surprise, but we are both fans of John Paul II.
Yes.
Oh. You couldn't tell already.
I know.
And so one of my favorite works of his is a book called Love and Responsibility. So this was actually written in 1960, so before he was Pope, under the name Karol Wojtyła, and he, this Polish priest, had the gift of... Really, he wanted to get messy. He wasn't about staying outside of his, you know, his spiritual sons and daughters, their relationships. He was about, let me enter in, let me sit with you, let me walk with you. And he knew that he had a very sacred space because they came to him not only for confession, but just for spiritual guidance. And he often would take them camping.
I know. You know, he wouldn't have given. Although I'm not much of a camper. So I'd have been like,
I'll just show up for the mass in the
canoe. Do you
have
a little mobile home I can be in too? I'm really bad about that. If I'm with the right people, I know that they can kill the snake.
All
right.
I'm sure
he could have killed the snake if a snake came. Yeah,
he would. He'd probably just stomp on it, but that's fine. But so truly, he does answer the question that I think even in speaking about this, people often ask. They're like, excuse me, how could a priest have anything to say about sexuality, about relationships between men and women, about marriage? Like, he's a priest. He's a cleric. He lives a vow of celibacy. Mm-hmm. And John Paul II, as he always does so gently and as a father, he sort of, he's prepared for that question before it's even asked. Mm-hmm. And so in his introduction to this great work, he says, you know, people want to know how I can even know these things. And it's because I'm walking with men and women who are asking me questions and sharing with me their problems and their joys. And the beauty is that I don't have all the answers, but I can go with them to the Lord and say, Lord, how do we hold this space? How do I live this tension? Right? And it's so beautiful to me because he's never once says that love is easy. In fact, it kind of says the opposite the whole book.
The whole book.
But one of my favorite quotes he says is, you know, do not be afraid if love, if it makes demands that almost seem impossible at times. He says, grace has the power to make straight the paths of human love.
And isn't that what draws us up? Like, so often we can look at the Christian ideal, you know, the quote unquote ideals, which we can look at and say, gosh, that's so beyond me. It's so hard. I can't see how I could ever fulfill, you know, this calling for me. But then there's someone out there that God fills up with his Holy Spirit who brings it closer to us and shows us the beauty and the greatness of what it means to be truly free, what it means to be truly a person of love, what love really means, which I love the segment where he talks about love being kind of using the Italian of ti voglio bene. I want your good. I want your good. So that love that puts me out, takes me out of my self-centeredness and into the value of the other. And then in that, I then honor my true self.
Amen. Which is really the foundation we want to go from is how do we honor as women and as men, this space from within where this is who I am. How do I hold this gift? And in holding it, then I'm also free to offer it. And I just love, I love the title of the book, Love and Responsibility, and that love is a gift that is responsible, right? If I truly love another, I'm responsible in how and when and to whom I offer this gift. And first and foremost, I have to love the person that I am from within in realizing that I am a gift to then also be offered. And, you know, it's a philosophical work. So it's not that everyone needs to go buy it right now. I mean, I'd be like, go get it.
They could buy it.
Dense. So we're not saying you have to do that. But what we're saying is what we want to do is invite you to walk with us as we really sort of wrestle through these topics. Because like he says, like, it, don't be afraid if it follows tortuous ways. He uses the word tortuous, which is like really painful.
I know.
Right?
And,
but the reality is we all, that's not something we have to go looking for. We all, every single day, have experiences where we're like, dang it, this is hard. This is really hard to love. And yet this book to me is such an offering of hope. And if you're familiar with theology of the body, that is just as important. And that is his work that is theological in a sense, but it's really built upon the premises of what he lays down in Love and Responsibility. So we're going to be teasing out with you topics such as what Sister mentioned. So the possession of self, the gift of who I am, knowing who I am, how do I offer that? The gift and the power of what is chastity? Like, what is it actually?
What is it really?
Yes, not what everyone else says it is. What is it not?
Yeah, what it's not.
How do we? How does that connect to even my self-possession and my offering of a gift? What does it mean to be responsible? What does it mean to be responsible in how I hold the gift of myself and how I receive the gift of others?
And am even responsible for the gift of the other.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
I really, I don't see you as just something for me, but you have, I have a responsibility for you as you are.
Right. As you are, not the box that I put you in, that I think you are. This sort of, and that's one of the topics I think is the most important. I remember speaking with a friend a few years ago. He'll still quote it back to me. It's one of my friends who's a priest. And he's like, remember that day we talked about disillusionment? And I'm like, he's like, that's hard. I'm like, disillusionment is so real. And that's that space and that place where, okay, we can look at people and we can put them into the box of this is the ideal of who I want them to be, really who I want them to be for me. Or, and we all do that in some sense. And the gift of love is as we mature in it, and this is every relationship has to go through this sort of this path and this season, in a sense, this purification. As we mature in it, we start to have this invitation where we can answer it yes or no, but are you willing to love this person? Not as I want them to be, but as they truly are. as a human who is imperfect and who is going to fail me and disappoint me. And also so too, I realize I will disappoint them. And in that space, the important question is, am I really loving and recognizing the value of the person? Because if I am, then disillusionment comes and it's difficult, but it's not the end of the story. Your story is deeper and more real because it has that eternal truth of the value of this person who has dignity and is a daughter or son of the Father. But if we are literally looking at others as how can I get from you? And we all do that. And that's the beauty. It's like we do that in little ways and it's just this constant like growth, but it's a beautiful opportunity.
And doesn't he, I mean, that's a theme that really comes out a lot in Love and Responsibility is this love versus use kind of idea. And I might say this wrong, but how he, it's almost like he points to that reality that persons, the only true way to deal with a person is to love them. And the problem comes in and things are to be used. And the problem comes in whenever we use persons and love things.
You know, it's so sort of disorder that can happen.
And so like what we're going to do is grapple with that and see, you know, like what are ways that we need to be refocused, you know, have our trajectory set right again. Focus on the right, the true, the good, meaning of relationships and personhood and ourselves and others, and then, you know, just see how that plays out in our daily day.
And I think what's so great too is as we're walking through this season is I feel like John Paul II's like the dream best friend. Like he would always be one, especially in writing this. He's not there to say, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. He's like, hey, come with me. Let's go on this adventure and let's learn about this. He approaches it with a reverence, meaning it's not this like super emotional, super like quote, almost overly religious idea, but like a truly a real
human,
messy human understanding where it's like this childlike awe and wonder at, we should bow before human love, realizing that we get to participate in living out God's presence in the world in how we are ourselves and how we love and receive other people.
And how courageous we can be.
Yes, like do not be afraid. Just that's like his number one thing. Like don't be afraid of love. It will be difficult. It might crush you in the sense of it's gonna like make you very small and very little, but we each become the most full and best version of ourselves in love. With whomever and however that takes place. And that brings us to what we hope this season does for each of us, including ourselves, is it helps us to remember that we have to always keep in mind eternity. That is what we're being prepared for.
Which also then throws us right back into the present moment that we're actually living.
Exactly.
The real person.
Where eternity touches
sitting,
time.
Yeah, she's sitting right in front of me or he's sitting right in front of me. I can have my mind somewhere else, but how is God inviting me right back to this sacrament, which is this present
moment? The sacramentality of the present moment.
Amen. Where God wants to break in and be present in love.
Amen.
And John Paul II is going to walk with us to do that. I love it. He's going to be like on the hiking buddy, you know?
Yes.
We totally invite him to just be a part of this journey with us. And we will see you at the other end of this break. And we can't wait to talk about more of what this new season is going to be.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah. I'm Sarah Denny.
And I'm Sister Tracy.
And we are so excited to have you join us again. This is our first show for the second season. And we were just discussing before that we are going to be delving into the themes of love and responsibility. So really, we're going to be walking this season with John Paul II.
I am so pumped.
Me too. I can't wait. And it's just such a gift to have y'all here with us. Thank you again for joining us for the second season. And we wanted to just kind of start off this next segment by sharing just some stories of how the show has affected us, but also how we even have ideas for the show.
Yeah.
Because it really is a fruit of our lives. We're like, oh, I think the Holy Spirit has put this in our hearts for a reason. Mm-hmm. And that what we mentioned in the first segment was, as we give voice to what's happening on the interior, it has an effect not just for us. It's not just for us. It's for the community.
Yeah.
For those that we're speaking to, ministering to, and how good is our God that he allows it to be that way. Mm-hmm. So recently, though, I was sharing with sister, you know, I was in a meeting at work, and I was, it's like mixed men and women. And I was like, gosh, Lord, like I'm realizing I'm thinking about 10 different things right now. One of them is the meeting. Like I'm totally present, totally focused on this idea someone has, and we need this information here, and we need this information here. And at the same time, I'm simultaneously thinking about a bunch of other things. And I was just kind of reflecting on that while still being in the meeting, mm-hmm. and after. And I was like, you know, here is again another gift that can be difficult at times, but it's a gift of like, whoa, as a woman, I have these emotions, I have this awareness. And we've talked a lot about, okay, we have this capacity to hold within multiple things at the same time. And I've been reflecting lately on Our Lady and just in all these major points in her life, whether it was, okay, we're going to now flee to Egypt and you don't know anyone. In fact, this is the place where your people, as you know, were enslaved in the past. Mm-hmm. But this is where I'm calling you to flee with your husband and with your son. And you will in a lot of ways be alone, and there will mm-hmm. be a lot of time that you're just reflecting. Or, you know, the three wise men come and they have gifts. Or she finds Jesus in the temple. All of these things, we never hear Jesus or God explain to her why this is happening or what she should do next. Instead, we read a very simple line that says, and she pondered all these things in her heart. Mm. And she pondered all these things in her heart. And I'm realizing like, whoa, like there's two sides to every gift. I feel like there's the potential negative mm-hmm. and then there's the positive. And it's really like, in a sense, the cross that we can also be purified within. But so this negative is I can get so caught up in my thinking that I'm distracted from the present moment. But also the positive is I can truly sit and ponder. And really, I feel like a diver swimming for pearls or something. Mm. Like I just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. And yet this day that I was in this meeting, I realized quickly as the meeting was going and as after, like I was reflecting on something that had happened in the meeting and part of the conversation amidst people. And then some of the other people I worked with, I watched the difference between the men and the women. And I was like, whoa. For the men, like they were in the meeting, they had their moment, they offered their piece, and then the meeting ended and the meeting was over.
The meeting
and
was
they
over.
Moved on.
They were gone. They were out of the meeting.
I was still like, what
You're
about this?
In the
what
meeting.
About this? And what about that?
Yeah.
And I realized, like, I had to laugh. In the beginning, I got like a little distracted. Then I had to laugh. I was like, oh my gosh, praise God. Like, this is one of the differences is that for men, and we each, as men and women, we do live this out in certain,
it's not
like a black and white, I feel like the natural capacity that men have is to be about this one thing, and they're there and they're present. And that is the beautiful part of their thing. The other side then for them that can be the struggle.
Or maybe they're not present because they're in another.
Yeah. So that's the thing I was going to say. The other struggle sometimes I've had to be like with the men that I know and I love. I'm like, hey. Can you come back?
Hello,
like, okay,
here.
Let's be in this box,
you
know? And praise God, like the beauty is they want to be.
Yeah.
And that's the gift of like, we learn to communicate men and women. But just sort of reflecting, okay, as a woman, what does it mean for me to hold, especially from within my own heart and my own place and desires and experiences in life? And I'm, as the Lord is teaching me, I'm learning more and more, okay, Lord, if you're calling me to be at home within myself, I can expend so much emotional energy on, wait, what did that person mean when they said this?
Ugh.
Wait, what did that mean when this person did this?
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, rabbit holes. Just chasing them and like, there is no end.
Because let me just add to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's really, really, it can be the seed of a lot of, not just distraction, but actual sin. I mean, actual messing up in the sense that, we can be so much in our minds that we've already painted a picture of what the motivations of another person were. Yes. And then we act out of that. We treat them as though that were true.
Exactly.
Or we treat ourselves as though that crazy thing were true.
Right.
And which can, you know, have its shades of gray. But I mean, there's a sort of like there could be where we really do hurt them.
Yes.
Or hurt ourselves. Or,
yes. And because we're reflecting upon or living out of assumptions or lies that are not even reality.
Yeah.
And so that's the question to just bring back as I'm learning, as the Lord is teaching me, okay, to be at home within, for me, as Sarah, to hold and possess the gift of who I am as a woman, as a daughter of the Father, means when I hear within my own mind and I'm going down my little conversation and trying to figure it out, as in I'm trying to control it, and he's not calling me to control it, I need to step back and ask the question, okay, what is reality? And the only reality I have is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, their presence within me and me being who I am. Mm. I cannot assume, I cannot, you know, live out of supposed ideas of what people are thinking or doing or the whys. I can literally only be me. And the most pure offering I can offer to another is the fullness of my presence when I am with them.
Yeah.
And that is the key, I feel like, is wherever I am, that is the will of God for me.
Mm-hmm.
So who is in front of me right now?
Yeah.
Because I have two options. I'm either going to be stuck in the meeting that happened 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be in front of whomever. It could be the lady at Walmart that's checking me out with my groceries, you know, and praise God for that woman and for this moment. But that's what he desires for me.
And I have kind of a little bit of a spiritual twist on this because for me, I was, and something you said earlier about how you were sitting there and you were thinking about Mary and how, you know, God didn't explain everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I think in my prayer, you know, where I'm trying to give him everything that I'm living, I'm trying to be present to him, you know, and not think about all kinds of millions of things that I want to think about. But how do I do that every single day or in each moment that I'm called to really be with him? So this one day I was going to him in prayer, and I think I had kind of been through, you know how sometimes you can go through these like moments where you just keep doing the same thing and still blah. You know, you're still like, why is nothing coming through, Lord? I must really be dense because I just don't see anything that you might be trying to communicate to me. And so I was kind of living out of that place and I was feeling, I don't know, a little down. And a scripture was brought to my attention. I felt called to pray with from St. Mark's Gospel, and where Jesus actually heals Simon's mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that, I mean, I've read that segment a millions of times, you know, Jesus goes into the house, she's laying there with a fever, and, you know, especially with the title Daughter Arise, I'm kind of always a little bit attentive to whenever Jesus draws somebody up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm talking to the Lord about it, and the funny thing is, I got to just say this, that morning when I woke up, I had that pop song in my head. Listen to your heart when he's calling for you, right?
I love that
And
song.
I'm like brushing my teeth. Well, I start to pray and it came back to me. And it's like, Jesus, are you singing that to me?
Mm.
When he's calling for you? Are you calling me? What's in my heart? So as I'm looking at the word of God, I'm saying to the Lord, okay, I want to listen to my heart. Mm-hmm. What is my heart telling me about the scripture? And it was immediate. It was almost like a spotlight went on these one few words where there she is laying there with her fever. And instead of Jesus, which I'm very used to him saying, little girl, get up, or Lazarus, come out, you know, or saying something, explaining the situation, telling her something, he doesn't say a word. Next thing you know, he's pulling the mother-in-law up, and then you hear the fever left her.
Mm.
So this is what struck me. When I listened to my heart, what Jesus showed me was she had to stand up with her fever. She had to stand up as she was, that point was burdened.
Yes.
And hurting.
And don't we all know, and just kind of bouncing back what I was saying before, like what we can experience as a burden of unknowing, of maybe confusion, or maybe just, Lord, I feel like I'm walking in a fog.
Yeah.
And like you, somehow I know you will this space.
Yeah.
And you have the answers, but it's not time for me to know them yet. And how do I surrender that space and acknowledge and trust, like, okay, that my Father works in my behalf outside of my understanding.
Yes. And that sometimes I know in me, I must have this tendency to kind of almost insist that the Lord explain himself.
Yeah, tell me now.
Tell me
Send
what
me
you're
the email
doing.
With the
explain
bulleted points.
Or give me like a little view of my future so that I can prepare myself for it. And what was he telling me with that scripture? He was saying, listen to what your heart is telling you. And my heart said to me, whoa. All he wants is for me to be brought to him, but I can't go. He has to pull me. He has to draw me. And he's basically saying to me, and that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. For you to just be close to me is going to get you through, and the darkness will flee.
Amen.
The darkness will flee. If you come to me, if you let yourself be drawn as I'm truly drawing you, I thought you only draw me through your word. And he's like, no, sometimes I'll just pull you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just attract you. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of coming to, and I don't know how this happened, but our show is coming to an end.
We just have so much fun.
What a great thing we could do if we just brought all these topics, all these themes that we talked about into prayer. And let's use that segment of scripture to sort of, this is a new way that the Lord might be saying to each one of us, daughter, arise, come to me. So Lord, we enter this time of silence, of prayer, of attentiveness to your word. And we ask you to teach us how to listen to our hearts as you speak to us so clearly. And so we hear from Mark's gospel. And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came, and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and the fever left her. And then she served them. Lord, we give you thanks for entering our house, for coming into our space, and for drawing from us an attraction to you. Lord, we ask that you might use the circumstances of our life right now, the things that we are struggling with, the things that we are burdened with. Help us to know that you have the strength to lift us up as we are, that we don't have to somehow clean everything else up in our life, fix everything, make everything perfect before we can come to you. Help us to know that you draw us close by your sheer love for us, and that we can come to you as we are.
And Lord, we just ask that you would just come into all the spaces just in the home of our own hearts of darkness, of confusion, of anxiety. Lord, we know that you are a Father of peace, of clarity, and of light. So we ask that you would shine your light into these places, especially to give us the grace that even without understanding, we might trust you and trust in your love for us, and be courageous enough as your daughters to be open to your moving and working and lifting us up. We pray all these things through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
How
for this
fun
show.
Was this?
We had a blast with you, and we hope you come back.
Yes.
And until next time, I am Sarah Denny.
And I'm Sister Tracy.
God bless.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.